And welcome to the Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Medical marijuana is now legal in Florida, but if you're one of the tens of thousands of people who need it for your terminal illness, your chronic seizures, or numerous other chronic health problems, the question is, when do you think you'll be able to get it? Well, medical marijuana became legal on Tuesday, actually. Lawmakers now have to get together and figure out the rules on how to regulate the industry. And of course, with the lawmakers in Florida, in Tallahassee, what does that exactly mean? Well, here's Senate President Joe Negron, his take on what lawmakers should do.
We should look at what it says and do that. And then we should look at the intent behind it, which, in my opinion, was to expand the use of medical cannabis for additional conditions.
Now, he's talking about Amendment 2. That's what the voters voted on. And overwhelmingly, more than 70% of Floridians said yes to medical marijuana. But you have to think about the fact that cities and counties will also get into the fray. They can decide whether or not they want to be open to or restrictive of dispensaries, which will start popping up pretty soon. How long are patients going to have to wait to get the state constitution amendment that they voted for to actually help them? Well, here's Jamie Howe. She spoke with our sister station, WUSF, about her frustration.
It's ridiculous to make patients wait 90 days when I have a mountain full of records that say I haven't just been sick overnight. I've been sick for years.
There is a cannabis law in place right now, and some Floridians are able to get medical marijuana under those old rules. Those rules will probably have to go out the window because we're going to have to come up with some new ones. So are you one of the estimated 500,000 people who would likely use medical marijuana for treatment? Maybe you already have been. How long do you think you're going to have to wait to get that medicine? And what do you expect or hope from lawmakers when the session begins in March? We'd really like to hear your thoughts on this. 800-743-WLRN. That's 800-743-9576. You can tweet us at WLRN. Find us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/group/TheFloridaRoundup. Joining me now is Michael Oslin. He's with the Tampa Bay Times, Miami Herald, Tallahassee Bureau. Michael, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Also joining us, Abe Abaraya, Health News Florida reporter from our sister station, WMFE. Abe, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
All right, you know what? I wanted to get the sense of the bigger question here is that medical marijuana, again, as I said, is legal. It's now legal. The people voted for it. And yet the question is, when will patients actually be able to get it? Michael, let me start with you.
Well, the good news for patients is the constitutional amendment it has some deadlines in it. And the most important one is in about 6 months, the Department of Health has to have rules in place. And that sort of means the clock's already ticking on them to, you know, put in place some regulations, start setting, you know, rules about what dispensaries have to do and what growers have to do. So hopefully within the year, patients can start getting access to marijuana.
And Abe, 6 months, I mean, look, 6 months can fly by very quickly, but when you're a patient and you need something now, that's a long time.
Well, yeah, it's definitely a long time. And we certainly do hear from patients who are, you know, I actually got a phone call from someone down in South Florida who found me just because I write about medical marijuana and said, you know, called and said, how do I get this? You know, the amendment became, you know, effective January 3rd. So how do I get it now? So, you know, there is sort of this sense from people that, you know, okay, you know, let's go ahead and go full steam. Why can't I get it yet? And I mean, the reality is there's a lot that has to be decided in Tallahassee. There's a lot that's going to have to be decided at the Department of Health. And then, as you mentioned, too, you know, locally, how different cities and counties are going to handle this.
And Michael, we talk about Tallahassee. Look, the Floridians, again, almost 3-1 said, we want this. But what's the temperature like in Tallahassee? How do lawmakers feel about it?
Well, you've got a lot of different opinions. There are some people, including the House Speaker, Richard Corcoran, who, you know, didn't support Amendment 2 and don't want to see medical marijuana legalized. But there's a really strong sense that the voters, you know, 71% of them voted for medical marijuana. More people voted for medical marijuana than anyone who's in the legislature. And they know that they have to put in place, you know, regulations that no matter what they do, this is going to go into effect. And I think there's a real sense that the people want this, so let's give the people what they want.
Abe Abaraya, do you think, though, that there could be anybody in the legislature or any way the legislature might hinder that progress, might slow it down. We saw what happened with Amendment 1 and funding for environmental issues, specifically to the Everglades restoration, that lawmakers will find a way to maybe divert money or divert funds and try to find loopholes. But do you see the legislature just saying, okay, the voter said yes, let's do this, or maybe they might go a different direction?
Well, I think it's really, you know, a little bit hard to guess on exactly what's going to be done in Tallahassee. I mean, there are ways that they could, you know, put restrictions onto this. They could delve directly into, you know, the different, you know, different conditions and what, you know, medicines they, you know, what other drugs they have to try first before you can get to medical marijuana. They could delve really deep into it if they wanted to make it more difficult. And I mean, there's definitely going to be, you know, this is Florida, they're going to be a little bit more conservative because, you know, they don't want this to be a backdoor recreational marijuana amendment. So, you know, we are going to see some regulations on this. But I think that there's a chance we've already got, you know, a regulatory framework in place that's operating right now. It took a lot of lawsuits and took a lot of time to actually get it up and running. But
does that
have there's that framework there.
Do we have to change that if they're making the new rules for Amendment 2?
I mean, theoretically, they're probably going to be looking at it and they probably are going to be changes to it. But there's nothing to say that lawmakers couldn't say, you know, we have these 7 licensees. Maybe there'll be more depending on how these different lawsuits shake out. But, you know, we have the seven dispensaries, and doctors can now prescribe for these new conditions. I don't think they'll do that. I think they're going to want to be more hands-on and say, you know, we don't want edibles, we don't want, you know, different, you don't, maybe we don't even want smokable. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways that they can go into this.
And by the Amendment 2 doesn't specifically say, by the way, that it can be or doesn't have to be smokable.
Exactly, yeah. And I think that there are a lot of, you know, people who are going to say we don't want it to be that. It's not an effective way to deliver medicine. There are other ways to, you know, to get it to patients in a way that is more easily tightly controlled.
You know, Michael Oslin, I find it interesting that, other states have already done this. And ironically, I mean, funny enough to say, I was in Nevada for many years before I came here, and they were going through that process before Florida was. They've tried to figure it out. California itself, other states as well. Other people have tried it. Other states, I should say, have tried it. So can't we just look to see how they've worked it out?
Yeah, and I think that some of that is happening. You know, you hear lawmakers talk a lot about, you know, we don't want to become like California, where it was really easy for people to get medical licenses, and we don't want this to set us on the path of being like Colorado or Washington or, you know, any of the states that have legalized marijuana recreationally. So I think there's definitely a lot of looking to what has worked elsewhere, and also looking to how the existing program in Florida has and hasn't worked. So I think that's why we're going to see more conversations about how many, you know, growers do we need? How many dispensaries do we need? What has worked in the last, you know, 6 months since low THC marijuana was, you know, started to be available to some patients in Florida?
All right. Again, we're talking about Amendment 2. Medical marijuana became legal in Florida on Tuesday. But as we've already heard, people are calling and asking, well, if I need it, how do I get it now? Well, we still have to wait for lawmakers to decide those kind of rules. But we want to hear from you. If maybe you've already been using it, what do you expect the process will be going forward? Or if you have questions about, well, how do I, if I need it, get it? Let's find out. I want to go to the phones. And again, you can share your thoughts, your questions with us, 800-743-9576. I want to go to John in Miami first. John, welcome to the program. John, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
What's that again?
Yeah, go ahead. You're on.
Okay, there's a product called Marinol. I worked in pharmacy in the 80s, and it's made from marijuana. It's been available since before then.
Okay.
So I don't see what the big rush to get this marijuana on the market now, when there's been a product all this time. We're just changing whoever's making profit from it.
All right. But why do you think that hasn't been discussed then?
I assume the people that are pushing marijuana are people who are the ones that want to make money from it, not the ones that are overly concerned with the patients. Because, again, this product has been on the market for years and years and years.
Okay. And again, I'm sorry, the name of it is?
Marinol.
Okay. John, thank you so much.
Class 2 narcotic.
Okay.
I mean, wouldn't it be easier to have that deregulated? I mean, this is a product that's on the market. And because it's a pharmaceutical, you know what the dose is. With marijuana, you know, with the herb, the plant, you're not exactly sure what the dose is.
Okay. John, thank you for the call, and thank you for sharing that. I'd be the first to tell you that I have not heard of it. I mean, I haven't been to the pharmacy in a long time, but I don't know. Abab Araya or Mike Lawson, have you heard of that? Does that ring any bells?
Yeah, this is Michael.
Oh, okay, Michael.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Michael.
I've heard of it, but I think that there's been such a large push nationally. A lot of doctors who say that you know, marijuana, cannabis has, you know, a lot of opportunities for, helping people. And so that's, I think, where this push comes from. And, you know, there is a lot of lab work, by the way, that goes into figuring out the, you know, concentration of the various chemicals in some of the products that people can take. So it's not all, you know, as unscientific as just, you know, rolling up a joint and smoking it.
And again, we have to mention the fact that this doesn't necessarily mean that it would be the smokable kind. It could definitely come in other forms. All right, let me go back to the phones. I want to go to Warren in Delray Beach. Warren, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me. It's well known for many years that smoking the stuff, which I don't do, is basically harmless. You can't OD on it. It is not addictive. And at this stage of the game, the whole falderal about keeping it illegal and or regulated, it seems to be economical. The liquor and tobacco industries want the exclusive rights to making people high, and the government is pimping off of them with huge excise taxes. So it's just, even now, the other states where they have the dispensaries and so forth, it's all about money. And this, I just think that even though I don't use it, if people, anyone who wants to use it or grow it in flower pots or something, should be able to do it in a country that calls itself a free country, and a substance that doesn't cause addiction and get people terribly smashed or anything like that.
Warren,
liquor and tobacco are more dangerous than marijuana.
Warren, you bring up an interesting point. You talk about the money. I appreciate the call. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Abab Araya, you know, have we seen from other states, for example, and now Colorado has recreational marijuana legalized, but have we seen from other states, has there been a financial windfall from this? Is it something that could be good for, you know, city and state coffers?
It certainly can. I mean, we've definitely seen, I believe in Colorado, they actually were beating some of the expectations as far as, you know, the tax revenue from recreational marijuana. And you know, to the caller's point, this is something that's been, you know, from a public opinion standpoint, has been changing, you know, pretty rapidly over the last few decades. You know, the view towards marijuana and whether, you know, it should be allowed recreationally and medicinally, you know, has definitely gone up. So, you know, it can be a windfall. I will say that, you know, there have been some reports put out by ArcView and a few others that look at, you know, Florida potentially being a $1 billion market. I would maybe caution that it maybe eventually will from, you know, some of the people I've heard. But, you know, right now we only have 1,500 patients, which is for the current medical marijuana market. And, you know, that's less than what they were projecting. And, you know, it may not be as quick as what people are thinking.
Okay. I want to talk to someone who actually is using this for pain right now. I want to go to Bob in West Broward County. Bob, thank you for holding.
Hey, no problem.
All right. So you're using medical marijuana right now?
Well, yeah. Listen, I'm a 69-year-old guy, a charter fisherman, retired electrician. Had to work hard all my life. I had a couple of back surgeries. And, you know, my doctor, I should be taking, according to what's my problem, is like 4 or 5 Percocets a day, and I don't take any.
Okay.
I smoke pot.
Now,
and I don't always smoke it. Sometimes I eat it. Now, during the day, the eatables, I find, seem to work more on the body and less on the head. So you can function normally. Nobody even knows. And it doesn't get rid of all the pain. Nothing gets rid of all the pain, but it takes that edge off.
All right. And is this something
that can function?
So then your doctor would say to you that you should be taking, you know, these prescription drugs.
My doctor, actually, I spoke with him yesterday. He says he can't wait until I can get on legal marijuana.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you sharing that with us. Thank you so much, Bob. I guess there are different ways, obviously, of getting it. But, you know, something else that's interesting, too, is this. We're not just waiting for state lawmakers to figure out the rules, you know, and how they want to handle this, how to regulate this industry. But also it's the fact that cities, municipalities, they could be very open to dispensaries. They could be very open to the industry. And some already have rules in place. They don't want anything to do with it. Mike Lauslin, what do you see in a more reddish state, how different cities and municipalities are going to approach this? Are they just waiting for the state to come up with the rules, or are they jumping ahead?
Well, I think we see a lot of caution from cities and counties right now. Several of them have put, you know, moratoriums in place on dispensaries until the state, you know, can figure out what's going on and figure out what the rules are going to look like, and maybe see how this develops in the state. But, you know, it's totally possible that there are parts of the state that will say, no way, we don't want part of this at all. But there's some political pressure that'll be there on county and city officials. This is a wildly popular constitutional amendment. There's not a county in the state of Florida where less than half of the voters supported this. So, you know, there's a certain amount of populist support behind it. And I think cities and counties are probably going to think for a minute before putting out an all-out ban on marijuana within their jurisdictions.
All right. I want to take one more call before we finish up this segment. I'm going to go to Valerie in Boca Raton. Valerie, am I clear? You're a mental health professional?
Yes, I'm a psychiatric nurse practitioner.
Okay. And so, I mean, your take on this debate right now, and is it something that's useful to any of your patients?
Absolutely. I have nothing against the molecule at all, and I think it is useful to some of my patients. However, my beef is that when the legislature wrote the law, they did not add it to our e-force state controlled substances database. And as a prescriber, I want to know, because I'm prescribing psychotropic drugs that interact with it, I want to know whether someone's getting medical marijuana or not. The other thing people don't understand is doctors don't write a prescription for it because there's no FDA regulated dosing for this. They write a recommendation and then you go to the dispensary, and the person in the dispensary is the one that helps you decide whether you want more indica, more sativa, a combination, you know, what dosing, but it's not your physician that's doing that.
So there are just a lot of questions as to how, you know, the ease of which patients are going to be able to get their hands on the medicine that they need. Okay. Valerie, thank you so much for the call. Thank you for sharing that with us. You know, as we finish up, just one last quick question. Abab Araya, we talked about that there is a deadline. There is 6 months for at least a basic outline of what these rules have to be. It's by around June when lawmakers really have to come up with what those regulations are going to be. Is that what I heard correctly?
Yeah, and there's another deadline, too. I believe in, I want to say September, October, we have to have the cards available for patients to be able to get marijuana as well.
All right. So, and we haven't talked about doctors. We haven't talked about dispensaries. There's a lot on this topic, but we got plenty of time. So we're just going to end it there, and we'll keep bringing this up throughout the months. And again, thank you so much for the calls and sharing your stories with us. Again, Michael Auslin, Tampa Bay Times, Miami Herald, Tallahassee Bureau, Abab Araya, Health News Florida reporter with WMFE. Gentlemen, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, coming up next, staying on health. The new report shows a correlation between the rise in homicides and Florida's Stand Your Ground law. We'll take a look at that. That's coming up next on the Florida Roundup here on WLRN.